is Joyce Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
We were in the grocery store earlier last week and bumped into an old acquaintance that we hadn't seen in a long time. After some quick small talk, this kind of crazed look in her eye, she said, "The madness has begun already." She was referring to the holiday season. It comes with a kind of a rush and a hurry, and my own journey towards Christmas always begins the day I pull into Starbucks and get my coffee and it's served in a holiday cup. And I realize I'm already behind. I pause to think about the season of Advent and Christmas and how do we move in the direction God is calling us to move as His people. Think about the realities that we have to deal with within ourselves, in the context of our own relationships, in our careers, in our lives, and the larger context of our world. And I wonder, how come God waits so long? He dumps His promises of hope and goodness on us, and we have to wait. That's one of the challenges of this life of ours as people of faith, is that God's timeline is not our timeline. That we have this hope of Christmas, of a world made right, but not yet. We have to wait for it. Yet there is something to Christmas that is for us here and now, certainly in the person of Christ as the Emmanuel. I think that song by U2, Heaven on Earth, captures some of that Christmas angst. They sing that, "Heaven on earth, we need it now. I'm sick of all the hanging around, sick of all the sorrow, the pain. I'm sick of hearing it again and again that there's going to be peace on earth. Jesus, can you take the time to throw a drowning man a line? Peace on earth? To tell the ones who hear no sound, whose sons are living in the ground, peace on earth. Jesus, this song you wrote, the words are sticking in my throat, peace on earth. I hear it every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. Peace on earth." Advent is the season, a time that we pause to mark and celebrate the arrival of Christ, the Messiah, God in flesh, into the world. It's also a time of hope as we look towards His second return and the coming when He'll come and set all things right. But Christmas, Advent in particular, is a reminder that Christmas itself begins in darkness, and so does our hope. Passage I read for you out of Isaiah comes in a larger section of chapters 1 through 12, and God's confronting His people with their unfaithfulness and their own inner darkness. And He speaks to them through the prophet, saying that a people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. It's a promise that God has made to Israel. The promise of Christmas comes at a time of political darkness and personal darkness for the people of Israel. There's invading armies camped on the border of Judah. The king of Syria and the king of northern Israel have formed an alliance, and their plan is to attack the people of Judah, to tear it apart and to establish their own king over them. And the king of Judah, King Ahaz, and the people are overwhelmed with fear at what is happening to them. But Israel was wrapped up in their own personal darkness, their own spiritual darkness. In chapter 1, they're characterized as a rebellious children whose worship of God is empty and worthless, whose hands are full of blood, and whose rulers and leaders are partner themselves with thieves, and they love bribes and they chase after gifts, who refuse to defend the cause of the fatherless or the widow. And they are described as a people who have committed a spiritual adultery by consulting spiritists and mediums rather than turning to God. And Isaiah warns in chapter 8 that there is no light in these, and that those who follow and chase after them will end up distressed and hungry and will roam the land famished. And at the end of that chapter, he says to them, look, they will look towards the earth and will see only distress and darkness and fear and gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. He goes on in chapter 9 to talk about the people walking in darkness, in a deep darkness. And it's really the darkness of the shadow of death that is over them. As a people, probably not so unlike us, trapped in wrapped up in political darkness as well as spiritual and personal darkness. But darkness comes to us in so many ways. We don't have to be worried about invading armies, do we? It could be just what we read in the news. It could be a lab report that depicts something about our body. Darkness could be economic pressures that we experience, or what remains in our hearts after we've had a serious emotional hurt. And try as we might, we're still unable to chase the darkness away on our own. That's the thing about Advent and Christmas, is it calls us to deal with the darkness within ourselves and in the world by reminding us that there is a solution, but it lies outside of ourselves. When King Ahaz, the king of Judah, was faced with the invading armies on his border, he freaked out. And as he was examining the water supply and wondering when they would come and cut that off and let them die of thirst within the walls of Jerusalem, the prophet comes to him and says, you need to stay calm and do not fear. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. But Ahaz has another plan in mind. He realizes that he can't really defeat Syria and northern Israel on his own. So he decides to call up the Assyrians, the great superpower of the ancient world that had already launched a campaign to conquer the world and take possession of it. He decides that if I hook up with Assyria, if I become his loyal subject, he will protect us from Syria and Israel. It's a moment when the mouse decides to hire the cat to kill the rat. And it doesn't end well for Israel. It's in that moment that God comes to the king and he says, ask me for a sign that I will be your deliverer. And the king says, no, I'm too religious and good to ask you for a sign. I know I'm not supposed to do that. And it's really a test of Ahaz, because he's already made up his mind. He knows what he's going to do, and he's not going to trust God. He's going to trust in his own ingenuity. And God says, I myself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And God's presence is the sign of his faithfulness to us as we walk through our own darkness. 4 times in 3 verses, we're confronted with the darkness of Christmas. They will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness. They will be thrust into other darkness. But for those who live in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, there will be no more darkness. People walking in darkness will see a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And he talks about the enlargement of the nation, and their joy will be like that at the time of harvest, or when warriors divide plunder. That the burden that's on their back will be broken, and peacetime will come. There's every garment, every boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It's a moment talking about peace coming to the world, and it comes to us in this Emmanuel, this God with us, who is a child. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It is there in that promise of Emmanuel, the unexpected and rather unsettling promise of a Messiah who happens to be Wonderful Counselor, that who provides wisdom beyond measure, who helps us to not just feel good and safe and warm. No, that's not the kind of comfort they're talking about. They're talking about a comfort that brings support and strength and strategy. A one who comes as Mighty God, as Everlasting Father, as Prince of Peace. This is no ordinary child, but God himself who returns to deliver his people. For those of us sitting in darkness, surrounded by the limits of our own understanding and vision, comes a counselor. For those of us overwhelmed by darkness because of the armies encamped on our borders and the odds stacked against us and we're on the verge of being swept away, there comes a mighty God. For those of us lost in the isolating darkness of our own making, a child comes in the light of the Everlasting Father to lead us home. For those of us wrapped in darkness from the past that we cannot change and a tomorrow that has no rest, there becomes a Prince of Peace. This is Emmanuel, God with us. Our God is a God of hope who always engages us through his promises. How do we go forward in a dark world and still celebrate the light of Christ? It is by engaging with Emmanuel, the God of hope, who is with us and who engages us only through his promises. Jürgen Moltmann put it this way. It is in the promises, the promise of God, that the unseen future exists, exert itself on the present through the hope that it inspires. Let me give you that again. It is in the promise that the unseen future exerts itself on the present through the hope that it inspires. Our God is a God of hope. When we enter an uncertain time in our life, whatever it is, there are really only 2 responses, fear or hope. The light of Christ calls us to respond in hope. Let us pray. Holy Lord, we thank you for your mercy and the hope that comes to us in the season. Help us to embrace and own up to our own darkness and the way in which we contribute to that of the world around us. For your glory, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.